Thank you all for coming. We would like to dedicate this shiur to all those in Eretz Yisrael in need of refuah, all the soldiers on the front lines, all the support to the soldiers, all the families, and as a general stress for Am Yisrael to be safe. Today, I wanted to discuss the 10 plagues, the Makos, and the different aspect of the Makos, some which we know, and maybe shed a new light on the purpose of the Makos. The Makos came down by reading the Pesukim, looking at Parshas Shmos, looking at Parshas Va'era, looking at Parshas Bo. The Makos came to teach the Egyptians a lesson and to get us out of Mitzrayim. There was a goal, there was a purpose. And by reading the Pashut Pshat, the simple understanding of the Pesukim, that's what God seems to set forth. God seems to set forth a path for us to reach the ultimate Ge'ula, to reach Eretz Yisrael, to get the Torah, and to grow as a nation. In this last week's Parsha, and if we look at source number one, Hashem foreshadows to Moshe the journey, but skips a whole chunk of what goes on in the middle. The pasuk says, "Va'amarta of Paro, ko amar Hashem, b'ni b'chori Yisrael." You should say to Paro, this is what God said, Israel is my firstborn. "Va'amar lecha shlach et b'ni v'yavduni, v'tema'en l'sholcho, hine anochi oreget b'incha b'chorecha." I want my children, my b'ni b'chori, my firstborn child, to come here and serve me, to come closer to God. And if you don't do that, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. That's a message Moshe is supposed to send to Paro. But the pasuk is a little misleading. Wasn't there 9 plagues in between? What happened to the whole series of events that was going on to get B'nai Israel out of Mitzrayim? It seems like the main point that God wants to get across to Paro is, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. And that seems to be the motivating factor that Moshe is supposed to portray as he comes to Paro. Rav Soloveitchik points out that B'ni B'chori Yisrael, that sentence where God is saying that his firstborn is B'nai Yisrael, is showing for the first time that B'nai Yisrael were coming together as a nation. That B'nai Yisrael weren't these dispersed people. They were really one entity. And the Griz, the Brisker of, points out on this pasuk that when God is telling Moses that he's to go to Paro and tell him, I'm sending out my firstborns, that I'm going to kill your firstborn, I apologize. The sole intention of that Makkah, the sole intention of the plague of killing the firstborns, was to send B'nai Yisrael out of Egypt. That we didn't need anything else. There was no need for any other Makkah to come into play. If there was just Makkos Bechoros, we would have been sent out of Mitzrayim. And in fact, that was the purpose, points out Rav Soloveitchik, among others, the Griz, the Brisker Rav. He points out that this plague, Shlach Ami Ve'Yavduni, that it came to literally be the final blow, but the only blow to facilitate the leaving out of Egypt. And the other 9 plagues had a totally different purpose. They weren't here to accomplish sending out B'nai Yisrael. Rather, the Brisker Rav points out, it was to accomplish din u'mishpat, to create judgment, to create some type of judiciary system, to maybe show the Egyptians what they were supposed to act like. Egypt was a place void of moral ethics. It was a place void of treating people in a humane way. So the Makos, the other nine Makos, came to facilitate something a little different. What did these Makos come to facilitate? How did these Makos facilitate a change in the society? Did it facilitate a change in the Egyptians? Or did it facilitate a change in Bnei Yisrael? Did it do both? As we mentioned earlier, the change definitely happened when it came to the Egyptians. There was definitely a lesson to be taught. But I want to change our perspective a little bit today and see that maybe the Makos also had a tremendous impact on how the Jewish people became a nation. Because until they came up to that Maka of Bechoros, maybe they weren't ready to leave Egypt yet. Maybe the nine Makos that the Brisker Rav were pointing out came for a different purpose. Had a purpose for Bnei Yisrael. If we look at source number 3, the Navi is dealing, Yirmiyahu, with a different Egyptian problem. We know the big Egyptian enslavement that happens across these four parshios, but also in the time of Yirmiyahu, there's problems going on with the Egyptians to a smaller scale. And Yirmiyahu says, "V'negav Hashem et Mitzrayim, nagof v'rafo." God will afflict the Egyptians, and then He will heal them. "V'shavu ad Hashem," and they'll come back to realize that there is a God, because the Egyptians were people who really believed in idols, who would worship anything they could outside of the realm of God. "V'ne'etar lahem." Or God will respond to them, they'll come back, they'll ask for healing, and God will heal them. The Gemara Megillah says the Amar Reish Lakish, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maka et Yisrael, Ela Im Kein Barei Lahem Refuah Techila." Reish Lakish said that God doesn't create plague, doesn't create any hardships for Bnei Yisrael before He creates the refuah, before He creates the healing for that Makkah. Shenemar, Kerafi leYisrael v'nigla avon Ephraim. And he quotes a pasuk from Hosea, "Aval umos ha'olam eino kein." But to the other nations of the world, that's not the case. Make otan ve'achar kach bore lahem refuah. First, God afflicts them, shows them the prevalence of God in this world, and then comes back around and creates whatever is necessary, whatever vaccine they need. "V'negav Hashem et Mitzrayim nagof v'rafu." And what pasuk does the Gemara use to learn out that God first creates the disease and then the vaccine for the nations of the world? This pasuk in Yeshayahu, in Yirmiyahu, we're told that God afflicted the Egyptians and then healed them. But for the Jewish people, the cure and the disease seems to be interlocked. That there's a cure way before the disease even comes into play. And we might not just be talking about a physical disease. It could be a spiritual disease. As it was for Mitzrayim, the plagues were definitely physical plagues that were coming to show them about not only the physical atrocities that they were doing to Bnei Israel, not only the enslavement, the lack of moral ethics, the idol worship, but it was also coming to teach them that there's a spiritual God. That there's something greater than themselves going on in this world. And they have to recognize that. And most of the commentaries point out in Yirmiyahu that Mitzrayim needed that healing. But there's a fascinating Zohar. And when I saw the Zohar, I literally jumped up. Because Zohar takes our whole understanding of this pasuk and turns it all around. The Zohar says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, we're in source number 5. Rabbi Yossi taught, Behahu mamish de ishtakach dina lemitraim, Behahu mamish ishtakachat rachmane leYisrael. When Egypt goes through judgment, so do Bnei Yisrael go through a similar judgment. But the judgment that Bnei Yisrael go through, the Zohar explaining, is a judgment of rachel, of mercy, of opportunity. And this is a first comparison that we have of something that Mitzrayim is going through and Bnei Yisrael are going through at the same time. When Egypt goes through judgment, Bnei Yisrael have an aspect of mercy from God. And the Zohar continues. And says, V'chein Tana, b'chol inun katrin kadishin de le'ela. We also learn that whenever judgment is present for Egypt, kama de ishtekach dina, ishtekach rachmana, v'kula b'shaita echad. Mercy is present simultaneously. It's happening at the same time. And it continues, says, Tana Rabbi Chizki Aktiv, Benagaf Hashem et Mitzrayim Nagof Verafo. How does he prove this? From our pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that God inflicted Egypt and healed them. But the Zohar now rereads this pasuk. My Verafo, Rafo leYisrael. The Rafuah in this pasuk is not one for the Egyptians, but is one for Bnei Yisrael. The Zohar uproots the simple understanding of the pasuk, which is a discussion to what extent can the Zohar do that for a different time. But the Zohar uproots the simple understanding that Egypt needed a refuah, and tells us that the refuah that was present when Mitzrayim was going through plagues was one for Bnei Yisrael. So now we can take a step back from Yirmiyahu and maybe go to Egypt. According to the Zohar, whenever Egypt was being hit with something, it gave Bnei Yisrael an aspect to heal. What were they healing from?
Slavery.
But they were still in Goshen, meaning the healing just started, right? There was a process that needed to begin. There was a spiritual awakening that needed to begin. This process in Egypt, leaving slavery, was just the beginning. It was the beginning of a 40-year journey, which we were going to get Matan Torah, and there was going to be the golden calf on the way. And there was a 49 levels of impurity Bnei Yisrael had to raise from, and eventually getting to the ultimate goal of getting to Eretz Yisrael, of getting to the land, the promised land. That's what Bnei Yisrael needed an awakening for. That's what the Negifa, the plagues, the overarching, the 9 plagues, were possibly coming to accomplish. If the goal was to punish the Egyptians, the Almighty could have done it with a snap of his fingers and we would have been out. All he needed was one. All he needed was Makas Bechoros. But maybe we can suggest that the 9 plagues based off the Zohar came to accomplish a lot more. Came to accomplish something to awaken within us to join together as a nation. It seems to be from a lot of the commentators that even though we weren't like the story of Purim in Egypt, in Purim we were Mefuraz or Mefurad Mikolam. We were split in every direction. There was 127 countries. They need to send horses to tell everybody what's going on. Pray for Esther. In Egypt we were all in one place. But it seems to be that we were still torn apart. We still didn't have the unifying factor that we were searching for. And if we move on to another Navi of Yechezkel, it can shed some light on this process that B'nai Yisrael had to go through to get to that place where they became a nation, to get that spiritual renewal, the spiritual awakening before Makas Bechoros. The Navi in Yechezkel gives us three psukim systematically explaining how we're going to go from people who are separated, people who have differences that they can't reconcile, to getting purified, to getting to the next level, to getting to that place where we can get out of Egypt. The first pasuk says, "Velakachti etchem min hagoyim." I will take you out from the other nations of the world. And the word etchem, the plural, I will take all of you as a people, as a nation, min hagoyim. And again, vekibatzti etchem, I will bring you all together, mikol haaretzot. And lastly, vehaveti etchem, for the third time, the use of the word etchem, as a people, as together, el admatchem, I will eventually bring you to the land. And this is describing how the Jewish people were making their way from Babel back to Israel. And Yechezkel, in this pasuk, gives us what is Geula. Geula does not come, the redemption does not come in a state of individuality. Rav Kook is famous for teaching us that Geula, redemption, comes when we think about B'nai Yisrael as a whole. When we don't just live individualistic lives, when we live lives of community, where we're part of a community, where we aid a community, we help when people need it. We don't stay in our own bubble. It's not 600,000 people walking out of Egypt, separated, doing their own thing, but all together. It's 600,000 people walking in unity. With all their differences, with all their beliefs, walking out together. We leave the hard work and the suffering. We leave the Egypt behind us. We leave the bubble behind us. And we're in a mindset of growth. And once we hit that mindset, says the Navi, and he moves on to the second pasuk, "Vezarakti alechem maim tohorim utehartem." He says, I will throw on you the quote-unquote holy waters, and you will get purified. Mikol tumotechem umikol giludechem etaretchem. And from all the defilements, all the different impurities, you're going to be pure. The Navi tells us, once we're in this mindset of growth, once we're a united nation, we can now get that purity from Hashem. Once we put our foot forward, once we come together, we can now have God reach back out to us. We can now have God throw on us the quote-unquote holy waters to purify. And lastly, once we go through this process, we're told, "Venatati lachem lev chadash." I'll give you a brand new heart. "Veruach chadasha etan bekirchem," and I'll blow to it a new breath of life. "Vasiroti et lev ha'even mipsarchem venatati lachem lev basar." And the Navi comes back and says, "I'm going to take away your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a lev basar, a heart of flesh." So the Navi first off tells us, you're going to get a new heart. And of course this is a metaphor. And we're left not knowing what this new heart actually is. And then we're told, I'm going to take away the Lev Evan, I'm going to take away that heart of stone, and I'm going to give you one of basar, of humanity, of flesh. And we have to understand, what is this slave Evan? What is this heart of stone? And the mashal, the metaphor that is given, because we're already on the topic, as one of a heart. If we think about when a heart is pumping, it's facilitating blood, it's facilitating life, it's facilitating movement. And when a heart doesn't do that, it comes to a place of being a stone. And if we take this to a spiritual realm, we can understand where Bnei Israel were. Mitzrayim was known as a place of mud, as a place of cement. They were able to suck away all spirituality from the Jewish people. They were able to take away everything that the Jewish people believed in. To a place where the Lev Evan, a heart of stone, came into play. And we needed to facilitate a Lev Basar. God was willing to do that for us. The Pasuk in Yechezkel tells us, God is willing to give us that renewal. God is willing to give us that pump of new blood. But what we have to do first is that first Pasuk. The Velakachti Etchem Min Hagoyim. And the Rambam in source number 7 echoes this idea beautifully. If we skip to the third to last line, he says, "Hamechavin libo letaher nafsho, mitumas hanefasho shehein machshavos haon v'deos haraos." He said, "What are these pasuks referring to? Somebody who's able, hamechavin, just be able to think, be cognizant, be aware, to purify their soul." Mitumos hanefasho and machshavos haon v'deos haraos. The difficult thoughts, the thoughts of doubt, the thoughts of hardship, the thoughts of Mitzrayim, being in the mud, taking away the breath of life, the happiness. Kevan shehiskim belibo lifrosh me'otan heitzos. Once, all you have to do, the Rambam says, once you commit to yourself to even try and change, Behefi nafsho b'mehadas. That's all you need to do. God will come in and throw the holy waters. God will come in and give you the lev chadash. Give you the lev basar. The heart will start pumping. And this is what Bnei Yisrael really had to go through. Bnei Yisrael had to go through this renewal process of coming to God and showing to God that this is what we want. Showing to God that we want to come out of Egypt. And until they were able to do that, they couldn't physically leave in time. They couldn't have gotten Makas Bechoros. And that's why the sole purpose of Makas Bechoros was the only one that was needed to really send them out from a physical standpoint. But the other 9 Makos came from a spiritual standpoint. And while we don't have the time today to go through how every makkah represented this growth within Bnei Israel, I want to contrast makkah number 1, the plague of dam, of blood, and number 9, the makkah of choshech. The Sfas Emet wrote a beautiful commentary on the Torah, which were initially his drushas. It's what he would speak about every week in regards to that Torah portion. And the Sfas Emes echoes this idea that we spoke about and says, Ki natan ha-bchira v'koach la-sitra achra. That in Mitzrayim, Hashem gave the evil inclination total and utter power. There was evil running rampant in Egypt. Va'etza ayedemuna be'emes ada ki koach komiyeter miyeter gam kein mirak oto yisparach. And the goal of that was that people would come to finally recognize that the true power in the world was the koach, was the strength of Hashem Yisparach, was the strength of God. Kmo shekatov ani hechbaratei leiv paro. And he says, why else would God tell Moshe, I'm going to harden Paro's heart? It's because God had some type of agenda here. God wanted to recreate a simple emunah, to know that there was a creation, and that God facilitated creation, and that God facilitates the world, and that there's godly aspects in everything that we do. And in this lengthy piece, he speaks about a fascinating Maharal. The Maharal systematically goes through the 10 Makos and compares them to two other things that we have in the Torah that abide by the rule of 10. That is, in the world of creation, the world was created in 10 statements. Be'eser ma'amaros nivru ha'olam, says in Pirkei Avos, that there was 10 different statements of God that made the world really come to be. And there was also the 10 commandments. And the Maharal explains systematically how every Mamar Bereshis, every statement of the creation of the world, and every one of the 10 plagues, and every one of the 10 Dibros, the 10 commandments, were all interlinked. And he says that the Makkah of Dam came to facilitate the reestablishment of Bereshit Bara Elokim, the most simple, fundamental aspect of the Torah. The first three words, that God created the world. God created the thing that we're in right now. The Makkah of Dam came to the Nile. The Egyptians at the time believed that the Nile held significant power. That the Nile was what facilitated life all over Egypt. It wasn't Yosef's brilliant ideas. It wasn't the brachas that Yaakov was giving right and left to Paro and in Egypt. It wasn't God. It was the Nile. That's what gave them the power. So Dam goes after the Nile to show them that it's not the Nile that gives the power. It's not the Nile that facilitates all the bracha. God facilitates the bracha. And he does it through water. God facilitates bracha all over. And the Maharal explains, this is what needed to be reestablished, not only in Egyptian culture, but to Am Yisrael. The first step to bring them together, says the Sfas Emes and his son, the Chidushei Harim, was for them to realize once again that God was prevalent in every step of the way. God created the world. God is there. All we have to do is to reach out a little bit. And therefore, the first one of the Ten Commandments is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And the next words are, Asher hotzeiticha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, the one that took you out of Egypt. Maharal says, we know you took us out of Egypt. You did a lot more than that. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, it was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why you took us out of Egypt? Because it was fundamental in us leaving Egypt. And it's fundamental to be in our 10 biggest mitzvahs, the 10 aspects which we got in Har Sinai. So Makas Dam shows us completely stripped of Emunah, completely stripped of the belief that God created the world. And each one of the Makos was slowly building us up till we got to the Makah of Choshech. And if we look at the contrast in Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch on Parshas Bo, speaks about the Pasuk that B'nai Yisrael told, go into the Egyptians' houses, Vayishalu, ask them for gold and silver and dresses and jewelry, etc. And after you do that, Vayimtzu chein, they're going to find some type of favorability in your eyes, they're going to find favorability in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Moshe. Really? After 9 Makos, I don't think anybody would find favorability in any God that's afflicting you one after the other, after the other, after the other. Especially when Moshe told Paro many times, we're going to kill your firstborn sons at the end of all this. Why would any of them find favor in anybody's eyes? The Midrash explains the Makom Choshech was so deep and so dark that it was like there was a blinding film in front of the Egyptians. They couldn't move. If you think about people who were enslaved for years upon years, what would they do if the people who enslaved them were in a place of darkness, extremely wealthy, and couldn't move? Probably get their revenge, ransack their houses, do what they could to get back at the Egyptians. But says Rav Hirsch, what did Bnei Yisrael go in and do? They went in and they actually didn't do any damage. What makes a nation of Am Yisrael different? Was the values were already reestablished in Am Yisrael by the ninth Makkah. By the ninth Makkah, the Lev Chadash, the Lev Basar, this new heart that Bnei Yisrael needed to get, was already there. They already took the steps to come forward, to get to a place where they can go into the Egyptian houses, and the Midrash explains, help them use the restroom, cook a meal for them. Instead of completely going all out, Bnei Yisrael were already at a place where they started to recognize the godliness in themselves and start to recognize their ability to impact the world around them. And at that point, we became an Am Yisrael. And at that point, we were a nation that was ready to facilitate leaving Egypt. And yes, Bnei Yisrael, once they left Egypt, had to go through 49 levels of impurity to reach Matan Torah. But before getting this slave basar, before getting this beating heart, pounding, facilitating life in the nation, facilitating singing through the Yom Suf, Miriam, the water, the man falling from the sky, the appreciation. Before going through all that, Bnei Yisrael had to open themselves up to become this nation with one goal, with one belief, with a value system driven for growth. And this is what Bnei Yisrael went through during the Makos. The Makos represented something greater than just a judgment, something greater than just plagues for the Egyptians. They deserved it and they got what they deserved. God showed us that. God proved it to us. But we also became a nation through the Makos. We were able to reestablish our belief systems. We were able to reestablish who we truly were. We were able to show God that we want to put our best foot forward and that we're ready to take upon ourselves a spiritual journey. We're ready to take upon ourselves Matan Torah. We're ready to go into the land. And God comes forward and says, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, you're my firstborn. Let's give them Makas Bechoros and let's get the journey started.